It's our pleasure to bring in Coach Bill Moseley, his son Willie, you know, local writer here in Tallahassee. The book that they put together, Memoirs of a Lanier High School and University of Kentucky Coach, called Forever Blue. And Coach, appreciate you coming in this morning, being in with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to see you. I've heard a lot about you, obviously. Goes way back to the good old days of football at Lanier High School when you were just a youngster as a player, and then you went on to become a coach and come back to your alma mater as well.
Good. I hope it's all good stuff.
Yeah. I've been reading through the book. Just got a crash course in it yesterday. It's good stuff.
Good.
Enjoyed reading through. Talk about how you kind of got into football to start with.
Well, as a kid on Locust Street in Montgomery, unpaved street, fields nearby, every vacant lot we could find, we'd make a football field out of it. I just grew up in a neighborhood that we were playing all the time. Football season goes, we'd clean off the field and make a baseball field out of it. So I grew up playing sports of all sorts, whatever season was in.
I'm curious, from our perspective, you were there during a time when there were some pretty good rivalries with Tallahassee High School. Talk about that and those games.
Now, I did not play against Tallahassee when I played at Lanier. I came to Lanier to coach, and they had played the year before. And I think the year before that, before I got there, was a very famous game where Tallahassee beat Lanier. And I didn't have anything to do with all of that. I came on just after that.
Did you hear much about the O'Brien streak at that time? You know?
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, and I knew, I got to know Hott. I coached against him one year. And he was a fine gentleman. I liked Hott. He was okay.
So what years was it exactly when you played for Lanier, Sidney Lanier High School?
38, 39, and 40. Those 3 years I played. Then I went to Kentucky 2 years. Then World War II for 3 years in the Air Force. And then back for 2 years with Coach Bryant in 46 and 47. Then I stayed and coached with him. Then in 49 I came, got the job at Lanier and came back.
How did you end up at Kentucky as a player? What drew you into Lexington there?
Probably Frank Moseley from Montgomery played at Alabama during the time with Coach Bryant. He was in the early days of Coach Bryant. And Frank Moseley was coaching at Kentucky at the time. And he recruited me to, when I was playing at Lanier, to go to Kentucky. And I went to Kentucky first, 41, 42, whenever it was.
And Frank Moseley was sports writer Max Moseley's brother, wasn't he, Pop?
No correct. Relation to you guys, though. You're Moseley's brother.
Somewhere way down the line, we couldn't pick you.
Cousins, down the Mobile Highway is where the family grew up.
Well, Coach Bryant, went with the connection with Coach Bryant, you know, I know he was in Kentucky for that some portion of that. What exactly was that? When did he come in? I knew he came from Maryland and then went to Kentucky, right?
Right. He came to Kentucky in 46, I guess.
Yeah, because you weren't there. The first years you were there, Coach Bryant was not the coach.
No, yet. Ab Kerr was my coach my freshman and senior year, sophomore year. Then the 3 years in the service and then came back. When I came back, about the same time Coach Bryant had come back, and I was in the service out in New Mexico, and I played one season with them out there in the service, but that didn't count against my eligibility.
Tell about Bill Moser, if you can let us know about this guy.
It's Dick Moser.
Dick Moser, that's it, yeah.
No, that was at New Mexico. I was in the service. The war was about over, and we were flying on B-29s, we'd got all our trainings done. And there was a bunch of Navy guys in school at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. And I got to somehow get connected up with them, and they were good guys. And they were playing football on the team. I said, well, shucks, I can play this bunch. Somehow I arranged it to talk with the I even got it arranged with the colonel of the base. He said, if anything bothers your comes up about your playing down to the University of New Mexico, you come in my office. We'll get it straight. So I had a good clearance to play. And I was completely eligible. I enrolled in class and went to class, but I didn't finish anything. I had to withdraw passing because the war, we got over, we got the season over and played in Sun Bowl, won the Sun Bowl. Then everything started clearing out and go home and get out of the service. So that's when I came back home. And immediately when I found out Coach Bryant had taken the job, I got me a hop to Lexington to visit with him. And he said, well, get your butt back out there and get you out of the service and get up here. We got things to do. So that was the way that I started with him.
How much eligibility did you have left when you went back to Kentucky?
Two years. Yeah.
And you played both ways, which a lot of guys did back then, right?
Right. But it wasn't. That was just even the beginning of a one-way thing. You both played both offense and defense.
What was Coach Bryant like?
He was like a daddy to me. A lot of people have a strong feelings that he's a mean rascal. But if I ever played football again, I'd try to find him and play for him because he was good to me. And I think sometime maybe being in the service, and he had been in the service, gotten out, that I don't say he showed any preference of leanings toward us, but I think he had a lot of understanding about all of us, we GIs had been in. We were a little bit older, than the high school kids coming up. And he recognized that, I think, and adjusted our practice things to us.
I was reading through the book, and there was a point where you talk about when he came aboard, I guess, and the ladies looked at him like, wow. So I never knew that, he was looked at as that way, as, a very handsome-looking character like that.
I would guess you could call him, I don't know what the girls would say, but a very manly-looking statue of a man he was. And, of course, inside of him with me and his dealings with me, I owe him a lot.
So you got not only to finish up your playing days at Kentucky, where you started as a college player,
right,
but you also got to continue as a coach. Tell about that.
Well, I stayed coaching there for a couple of years, but Coach Bryant went in coaching. He coached 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he talked football every minute he was awake. And he would, my first experiences, to big time football, he says, you get Coach Lashley's car. I want you to take a trip out there in that territory out west, out there. I forget he called it some sort of Indian territory.
I thought he said Louisiana Purchase.
Yeah, Louisiana Purchase territory. He said, there are a lot of football players. I said, where's that, Coach? He said, well, you can go to St. Louis and whatever. So I'm going, he sends me out there to the area.
Yeah.
And find some football players. So I went to Paducah, Kentucky, and I knew the coach at Paducah High School, and that's not too far from the Missouri line and thing. And I talked with Ralph McWright, and he had been an Alabama athlete, University of Alabama. So I started in St. Louis, and I started with the newspaper, and I get the paper with this high school, and I'd find out where it was and go introduce myself to the coach and find out, what one or two boys that he might consider about. And then I did the same thing with another high school or two. And I did that all the way up the Mississippi River. I got up to Wisconsin. Just going unannounced everywhere, just feeling my way. And I got ready to come home. I was in Chicago, and I had newly married, and I'd been gone about 2 weeks. And I called Coach Bryant. I told him I thought about it. I said, you want me to come in? Or you want to, I want you to come in when you get through, when you get it done. I didn't know what expected on that. But anyway, I got to Chicago, and I called my wife, and I said, you get on the first train to Chicago, come up here, and then I'm coming home. You're going to ride home with me. So I had been traveling, visiting all the kids, and some of them I'd send to talk to the parents and get them lined up at the airport, send them to Lexington while I was up there, and the visit with Coach Bryant. But we didn't load up with a bunch of All-American prospects, but anyway, we had two or three we got started on.
When you finished up there, and you were there, what, a year or two and as a coach, you got the opportunity to come back to Montgomery and coach again at Lanier. Tell about that experience.
Well, it was kind of something you don't really prepare for, but you really look for, and I jumped at the chance to come back to Lanier because I knew what Lanier, I think I did, what it meant to me, because I had gotten a world of good out of Lanier High School.
How old were you at this time?
I was about 21 and 22. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
When you started coaching, though, if at Lanier in 49, you would have been, you would have turned 27 that fall. Yeah. You were 20.
Still a young whippersnapper there. Yeah.
The point needs to be made that he was 25 years old and still playing college ball.
Yeah, because obviously the service time. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're still a young man at 27 coming into coach your old school. Is that a little bit, what's more intimidating, being assistant coach with a coach like Paul Bryant or the opportunity to be a head coach at a high school level?
Head coach, not just a high school, at Lanier.
Right. Very good point. Yes.
Yeah, so that was...
yeah. Which was an empire, basically, exactly. As far as it goes at that point.
And I knew what I was getting into there. Yeah. And I looked forward to it. I did.
There's a player who came through, is still probably the most famous alum of Lanier as far as a player, and it's Bart Starr, and you were able to coach him. Talk about him.
Bart was a little skinny junior high. Paul came from, played at Baldwin Junior High. I think he was there my first year at Lanier at Baldwin. Then he came to Lanier the next year. And Bart was a little wiry sort of. He wasn't a big bull of a man, but he was strong in his will to do what he wanted to do. He'd do what I wanted him to do. We stayed on the same page pretty good. And having coached Bart has been a lot to me because he's done so well. And he's handled every bit of, as far as I'm concerned, whatever the publicity, good, bad, whatever. I don't know if anybody could handle any of it any better than he has. And he's a good man. I knew his parents very well after he had gone, and they lived in the neighborhood where I did, and they were good people.
I've not heard of a more model citizen than Bart Starr, all the great things he did as an athlete, but just what he's done as a person. And as a matter of fact, one of the great testaments to that, as I heard, is he was on the Feinbaum show a few years back. He had a person call in and said, I sent you something, and you sent me a football or something. I don't know, something he sent, signed it or whatever. And he said, I sent you a thank you letter, and I appreciate that. But you're the only person I know that sent a thank you letter for the thank you letter, Bart Starr. when you see him play at that age, I mean, he's just a high school kid. Did you know this guy's got a chance to be something special? And I know you worked out some deals with to let Coach Bryant see him and work with him. Do you have an idea that he could become a Super Bowl MVP or champion like
no,
he did?
I don't think you can visualize a picture that big, that far in advance. No, I didn't. Because Bart's, his physique, now he wasn't the Charles Atlas bull of a muscular guy, but he had a good frame, but he had to fill out muscular a whole lot to get to the point he did. But Bart's, I think, one of the strongest points in his development, that he had the, what we call stick-to-itiveness,
yeah,
to accomplish whatever the job at hand. He could hone himself to do it and work hard enough till he did get it, if he didn't the first time. But he was dedicated to what he was doing.
And can you believe he's turning 80 this month?
I won't tell you about, can you believe I turned 91 this month?
As a matter of fact, you can wish him happy birthday because we're going to send this video clip to him, and I give you the chance to do that right now.
Well, Bart, of course, I wish you a happy birthday, and just keep on going. That's all I have to do, and stay active. I know you are, and you're a good guy, and he's got a beautiful, sweet wife, Cherry. They're good people.
All right. Well, one more thing. You kind of wrapped up your career early, a lot earlier than most would anticipate. When did you decide to, well, that's it for coaching, I'm going to do something else?
I think it was after I had gone back to Kentucky, after when I left Lanier,
yeah,
and back. I was there 2 years, and I had two young kids, my wife, and I was away from home too much, more than I wanted to be. And I think that was probably the biggest reason. And if you coach back then in the college, you coach 24 hours a day. And it doesn't matter when or where. You had staff meetings, you had scouting meetings, and there was always plenty to do. And it just took me away from my family too much. I was just gone. It was recruiting and scouting and things. It just, for me, it messed up my home life more than I wanted it to.
At about what stage of your life was this when you said, that's just enough coaching for me? How old were you about?
Well, I've been...
Only 33, Willie?
That's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No regrets?
Oh, no. I started all over, you might say. I started off as selling automobile and truck tires with my friend Claude Moody. Gave me a job to come back here, and that was what I was looking for. Then I wound up entering the lumber business with one of my players' fathers. Had a lumber business, and I bought into that. And stayed for 25 years and retired. And that was, carried me over pretty good.
But you still were active with some groups. I know the Lions Club and the Blue Gray and the Hitchcock Award and all of that
right.
Kept you at least somewhat in football.
Oh, yeah.
And I know, Willie, you didn't play. You were a manager for Lanier, I think, right?
Waterboy. Waterboy. Term.
Okay. And, right. but your other son did play a little football, right?
Yes. And he had went to Jeff Davis that started. But Eddie was had a good football mind and things, but he wasn't a bull of a guy. And he hurt his leg, knee in high school. I think he just never did get back to doing. The basics of high school quarterback, Eddie had it down pretty good. But his physical body just wouldn't take it.
Well, what was it like for you, Willie, coming up as a son of a man who left his mark in a very short time, in the football world there?
Well, you think about my legal name. It's his with Junior tacked on to the end of it. I came up. I started growing late. I wasn't much of an athlete. I tried to contribute what I could. Of course, when I was at Lanier, it was in the mid-60s when we were winning all those championships. Had the Spigner brothers and the Louder brothers and people like that. At Lee High School had Terry Beasley and Spence McCracken. Classic times, as far as that goes. the thing about having, you know, that was, of course, the glory days for the Packers and Star as well. So we were paying close attention to that. Yeah. The thing is, and I said this in the book, you know, Pops, I wasn't a jock, but he was still a role model for me and for a lot of other people too. And the gratifying thing these days is he coached his last high school game at Lanier in the fall of 1953, just over 60 years ago. And these players, when they still see him, when they still get together, they still call him coach over six decades later.
Right. Once a coach, always a coach, right?
Yeah. And anytime I see people like Snoozy Jones, who got out of coaching in the mid 60s and has became a UAB supporting official, state officials thing, something like that, as a bookstore in Birmingham. He's in the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. But he got out of coaching when I was in high school, and I still call him coach.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have to make I even call Pete Mahan coach, and he only coached for 2 years total, I think, at Floyd Junior High School. But just it's kind of a reflex thing, but they had to have meant something to you as well if you still call them that.
What was it like for you two to work together on this book?
Oh, fine. Billy did the work on it. I answered a few questions he might have had, and I think he's done all right on it. He's covered it pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm hearing from cousins who have gotten copies of the book. They said they didn't realize things like Pop had four older siblings, a brother and three sisters, but he was the first one to graduate from high school because the rest of them had to go to work during the Depression.
Wow.
And I've got cousins who were, you know, children of some of these kids. So I never knew that about the family. So I managed to get a lot of things. He came from a large family, had seven brothers and sisters. And I got a lot of good family stuff, too. And that's kind of what started the thing to start with. Years ago, my mother gave him a cassette recorder, wanted him to dictate his memoirs. He never got around to it. And then New South Books got in touch with me about doing that. And once we got a few things out of the way, you know, we plowed ahead with it pretty quickly.
Well, I've enjoyed the read. I appreciate you guys coming in. Where exactly can you pick up the book if you want to buy one?
Well, signed copies are available from the associate author.
Yeah, I'm going to pass mine to you and let you sign it. I'll give you a pen in a minute.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I think Capital Book and News has got it. New South Books has got it down on Court Street. I've got some copies up at the Tribune. If somebody doesn't want to go into Montgomery and buy it. And it is on Amazon, Books A Million, and Barnes & Noble websites as well. We got placement there. Even got Amazon Germany, Amazon Deutschland. It's available there. You know, here's the cover of the book and everything like that, but the description of it is in German.
No kidding.
So, yeah, that's I just found that out this week. You don't speak German, do you, Pop? I didn't think so.
You wouldn't understand it.
Yeah. Hey, it's our pleasure to have you both here. I've enjoyed the book and appreciate you putting it together and what you did all those years in football and beyond.
Thank you. Thank you. Enjoyed being here.
Thank you, Coach.
Enjoyed it.
Bill Moseley, Willie G with us here. The book, Forever Blue. Get yours. The Memoirs of a Lanier High School and University of Kentucky Coach. Worth the read.